Joining us on the phone right now is Gary Lee. Gary lives down in Peterson, Minnesota, down in the, I think I've got this right, Gary, the southeast part of the state of Minnesota. And
That's correct.
He is a technology coordinator for the Mabel Canton School District, but that's not why I wanted to talk to you. I read a newspaper article the other day, and it had a picture of you holding, I didn't recognize what it was, but I learned. Back in 2009, you went to an estate sale in Spring Valley, which is down in your neck of the woods, obviously, and bought this copper plate that was, in fact, created in 1775 to print currency for in New Hampshire, which is even before, obviously, they were a state. As I understand it, you're a collector, so you've gone to more than one estate sale in your life. How did you know that what you were looking at was anything that you wanted to own?
Well, I'm kind of an auction junkie, and this was an estate auction.
Oh, estate auction. Okay.
Not that that matters much, but the auction house I went to has a sale about every week, and I'd go, and they had previewed, you know, ahead of time, a week ahead of time, and so I had seen it the week before the auction, and I looked in my library, and I found what I thought it was. Not sure if it was the real thing or a forgery, or, you know, because it was a very dirty looking copper plate. You know, it had oxidized and it was not looking very good.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I thought, well, I'll take a chance that it might be the real thing and not a forgery. And so I did purchase it. And I tried to get it authenticated with some of the grading services throughout the United States. And nobody wanted to do that, so the only way I could really authenticate it as being real was to print some plates off of it.
Oh, really?
So what I did is, I took it to Winona State and Mary Coughlin over there helped me print some plates. So we printed, about 15 or 16, so we have, you know, prints, about 16 prints. And once I had a print in my hand and could see it, it was obvious that it was original.
Well, now, obviously, in order to do that, had to clean it up. I mean, you said it was really dirty and oxidized and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I have to assume, on the chance that this thing was authentic, you had to be awfully careful with cleaning it up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't want to damage it in the process.
As a matter of fact, we didn't clean it up. We just ran a number of prints over it until it lifted the dirt off of the plate.
Now, you mentioned...
And those prints... destroyed.
I see. So now you mentioned that you went home and you looked in your library to and you found out that what it was. What kind of library do you have? I'm not too sure I could find that in my library.
Well, probably not. It's a specialized book. It was written by Eric P. Newman, and it's called The Early Paper Money of America. And it's, I have a numismatic library.
Oh, I've got that book. No, I don't.
Anyway, not too many people have it.
No, I'm sure not.
You might be able to get out of the University of Minnesota or someplace. But anyway, yeah, it is a specialty book that I have. And the prints are actually in there, and they describe the prints and all this, too. So
now, are you a collector or especially knowledgeable in currency?
I do collect currency as well, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So
I don't know that I would consider myself an expert, but I've been doing this for about 40, 45 years.
I'd say that's you've got some expertise in the thing. So obviously when you saw it, you knew what it was, and so that you had a sense of that's why you want to do it. Now, so once you decided, okay, I've got something of value here, what was your decision process? Did you immediately think, okay, I'm going to sell this, or how am I going to sell it, or what did you do then?
Well, I had contacted some collectors out east who might want to purchase it to give it to a museum or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, to me, it's a national treasure is what it is. You know, but I also feel that, you know, my knowledge and I say that the person I was actually bidding against was a scrap iron dealer and one of the family members. And he wanted it just for the copper value.
Really?
But he got outbid. Yeah, he got bid out fairly quickly.
Uh-huh.
And the family member I was bidding against didn't see the value in it, apparently.
One of your family members?
So,
oh, no.
No, the family that owned it.
Oh, I see. Okay. You know, that... Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that, because that's one of the things... that I wanted to ask, and I don't know if you have any way of knowing this, but any idea of how it made its way from New Hampshire, where they used it to print currency back pre-Revolutionary War, to Spring Valley, Minnesota?
Well, through my research, I found that in 1850, Dr. Joshua Cohen had the plate in his possession, and he printed a number of plates off of this as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a medical doctor. Well, his brother, who was also a medical doctor, married somebody from Wisconsin, and both the brothers had died, and possibly she got the plate and took it to Wisconsin. Or possibly he gave it to another colleague who worked at the Mayo Clinic.
I see.
And I'm just surmising. I don't know for a fact that this happened, but one of those two things could have brought it into this area.
Sure, sure. Now
there's no real hard facts on it.
No, I'm sure not. Although obviously you've done some pretty extensive research on it, and I'm assuming that the more research, the more background you have on it, the more value that lends to the item itself.
Yes, and another thing that it could have happened was when Dr. Cohen passed away, his estate was sold, and Henry Ford bought everything he had.
Oh, is that right?
And see, and so that's all in the Henry Ford Museum. And why he didn't get this particular piece out of that collection, I don't know.
Interesting.
It was just overlooked, you know.
Yep.
And there's four other plates from New Hampshire that printed currency, different sizes and such. And I'm guessing they're probably in the Henry Ford Museum.
Okay. So there's four known of these plates. So it's obviously got some value. Now I have to ask you this question. I hope I don't offend you by asking. You certainly won't offend me if you don't answer it. But I'm sure that anybody's listening to this has probably got the question in their mind too. Can you tell me how much you paid for this?
On my lawyer's advice, no, I can't at this point.
Okay, all right. I understand. I know that there is a, as we mentioned earlier, kind of a complicated lawsuit going on about it, and I didn't figure you would, but I'm sorry I had to ask.
Yeah.
You determined that you talked to some collectors who thought that perhaps they could place it in a museum. That didn't work. You then obviously elected to put it up for auction with Heritage Auctions. And I know because it said in the article that the starting bid on it was $50,000. Was that a number, Gary, that you felt it was worth, or does that a number that the auction house places on it?
Well, actually, that's the auction house number, and they said it doesn't matter where we start; it's it's where we end up.
Right. Makes sense.
And, and I said, well, whatever, they're the experts in auction.
Sure.
But they basically indicated that I would make quite a bit more than that.
Oh, I see. Well, and I suppose, with a historical artifact like that, of which there are only four in existence, there is some value.
Actually, the other four, they don't even know where they are. They have no idea. This is the only one that is known to exist.
So you think maybe the other three might be in the museum, but you don't know that for sure.
I don't know.
Oh.
And the reason being is at the time they used to print this, copper was a very valuable commodity.
Uh-huh.
And it was reused over and over again. And Paul Revere, when he printed plates, he would cut them up and carve on the back something else and melt them down and reprint and, So the fact that it even survived is just amazing to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Given the times that it was used.
I agree.
Because most of them were just reused for something else.
Well, now...
And it could be...
Excuse me, go ahead.
It could be that the engraver, sold the print and the plate was his personal property to reuse for something else, which he didn't.
Uh-huh.
And instead sold it to somebody who eventually got it to Mr. Cohen, the doctor who had it.
And so right before it was going to go up for auction, the state of New Hampshire said, nope, we ask you to pull it out, and then made the assertion that it was once their property. It still is their property. I wasn't aware of a rule that says that, but apparently there is, although how do you know they didn't dispose of it? So this has kind of gotten a little bit complicated. Is there any dispute? Well, I guess there is a dispute whether, in fact, then you really own it.
Well, it's Heritage and all the other people said, basically, if they're to do that, then you've got to give every museum piece back to the state it came from.
Oh, right.
The Indians decided that they didn't like the bargain that their ancestors had given, they can say, well, we don't like what happened to our property. We want it back.
Uh-huh.
So it opens up a whole can of worms for all kinds of stuff, not just this plate, but all kinds of things that are other museums that aren't in the state they're from, properties, that, just all kinds of things.
Well, and
it's complicated, yes.
We're visiting with Gary Lee of Peterson, Minnesota, who came into possession of a very, very valuable copper plate that was used around 1775 to print currency for the state of New Hampshire, actually then the colony of New Hampshire. It would seem to me, and again, I understand completely that there are certain things that you just really can't talk about because of the legal proceeding, but it would seem to me that an easy solution for this would be for the state of New Hampshire to say, Gary, you've got something that really is important historically to us. How much do you want for it? And just buy it from you.
And they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And the reason they didn't do that is because their legislators are all lawyers, and lawyers don't do that. They litigate. And so that's all they did. It just jumped right into litigation. I would have been more than happy to have worked with them.
Sure, I'm sure that's true.
But they didn't even give me that option.
They never even suggested it. And my guess is,
I was going to say, after the litigation started, and, about a year after that, then they made a feeble offer, which wouldn't even have covered a tenth of my lawyer's fees. And they know what lawyer's fees are, because they're lawyers.
Sure.
And they did that just so they could say, we made an offer.
They made an offer, yeah. Do you envision at all how long it's going to take to have this thing all wrapped up? Do you have any idea? I mean, it's been going on now for a couple of years. Any idea how long it's going to take to wrap it up?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I wish I did.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Well, it's a fascinating story. The other question I have for you is, how many different interviews have you done about this thing? And have any of them been from New Hampshire?
Yes, I have done one with the New Hampshire Concord newspaper.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Go ahead.
And I also did, of course, down here in Winona at the Winona Daily News, which, spread the original article and then did a reprint now again.
And then it took off from there. I also have to assume, Gary, that you've got this thing in a pretty safe place.
Well, I hope a bank vault is safe.
And the bank would be... No, I'm just kidding. Well... I think it's a fascinating story, and which of course most people are, kind of a history buff anyway. I think it's really a fascinating story, you said you've been going to auctions and estate sales and all of the rest of it for 40 some years. Have you ever come across anything that, at least in your mind, is as valuable or important as this?
No, I come across interesting items, mm-hmm. It catches my eye, and a lot of interesting things. I've got first edition books that I've purchased and, things like that,
mm-hmm.
But nothing as valuable or as interesting as this, no.
Yeah, that's great. We've been visiting with Gary Lee, who, as I mentioned, lives in Peterson, Minnesota, down in the southeast part of the state, and a couple of years ago in 2009 at an auction, a state auction, purchased a copper plate that was used to print currency in New Hampshire. And Gary, I want to thank you very much for taking the time on a Friday evening to visit with us. We really appreciate it. And best of luck with the proceeding, however it goes.
It's been my pleasure to be interviewed by you.
Thanks a lot.